Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We are going to do a second podcast here on this series of Discerning Spirits back to back. We really feel the Lord leading us to do this night. This might be the first time we've ever done back to back podcasts in one night in one setting, but we really feel strong on this subject. So this is the gift of Discerning Spirits as part of our series of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this will be part number 13. So I want to pick up in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is a continuation of the previous part. If you haven't listened to part 12, I recommend you listen to that one first in terms of this particular subject of discerning of spirits. And we were on the subject of discerning of spirits concerning evil spirits and not giving place to the devil. For the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil.
That's true.
And who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. And when Christians think, once you got saved, the devil can't do anything to you, can't touch you, any of that. Well, that's a fallacy. He can still have access to your life, even though if you were possessed, you were freed when you got saved. He can't possess your spirit.
That's correct.
He can influence your body and your soul and harass your mind and your family and your life. He can, it's like a little dog walking down the street, and you feed him and feel sorry for him, and he'll follow you home. And that's what happens with a lot of people. They don't seem to realize that these evil spirits will follow them home, will go home with them, because they have now given them legal access to their home, to come into their home. And people don't realize the things that do stuff like that. We read here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 when God is talking to him about the commandments he was giving him in Deuteronomy 8. We start at verse 1. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man should not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I really love that passage of scripture
right there.
Me too. Because it's repeated in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. He says, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, a land of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley. And so you can read all these things he's saying here and continue to go on. And as you go down here, it says here in verse 19, he says, then it shall be if by any means you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship and testify against you, that this day you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the Lord your God. Now, what I want to preface here is some things that the Lord is telling them about getting involved in witchcraft and rebellion. And he says that in chapter 18, which we'll move to that now, chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, verse 9 says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless from the Lord, before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from the brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you have desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. Anyway, so what we're talking about here is that God is saying, if you're going to listen to anything, you're going to listen to me through the prophets, not through a sorcerer, not through a medium, not through a soothsayer, and any of these things that we see in the world today. That people are going to spiritists, they're going to mediums, they're going to fortune tellers to get information about their life and guidance. Mm-hmm. And God calls that an abomination.
That's right.
And because why is it an abomination? Because they're consulting with demonic forces and demonic spirits, evil spirits, and not God.
Right. And I was going to say that, you know, parents, we need to be aware that the enemy has brought this into our children's lives, at least an awareness and kind of like a deception and also an appetite with the children's programs. Nowadays, these children's programs have a lot of witchcraft in it. Imagine the contradiction. One of the children's program, The Good Witch. That's impossible. You know, a witch can't be good. You know, so, and there are so many different programs that children watch and see, and they make these evil characters look so cute and so friendly and harmless, and the children are growing up believing this. So, you know, as we're sharing this, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that even in the listeners' lives, that all spirit of deception is broken and upon their families and their children in the name of Jesus, so that they will be free and see the truth.
That's so true, sweetheart, because, you know, they think this good witchcraft, they call it white witchcraft, mm-hmm. versus black magic or black witchcraft. And they think, well, the white witchcraft is good spirits. And there are even people who become witches thinking they're the good witch.
That's right.
And bringing in these good spirits that are going to help people. But that's nothing but a deception and lie from the devil, mm-hmm. in order to get entrance into their life. Because he makes himself appear as an angel of light. He comes disguised as something good, and yet his whole intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's pure evil. You can't give place to these things. So we're going to give an example of this. Let's look at Acts chapter 16 about Paul confronting a girl who had a spirit of divination. Acts chapter 16, around verse 16. It says, now it happened, this is verse 16, Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Well, how is she going to bring much profit to her masters by fortune telling if she's not bringing some accurate truth to people?
That's right.
Right? Because they're not going to keep paying for stuff that's false and lies. Mm-hmm. No, she's obviously speaking stuff into their lives that's the truth. And we'll see evidence of that here in just a moment. It says, this girl, verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us. And this is Luke writing the book of Acts. He said, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Wow. She's speaking actually the truth.
She is.
The truth, right? And this she did for many days, right? So she's actually speaking the truth. She has a revelation by this evil spirit of who Paul and them were and what they were doing. You know, see, you know, people say the devil always lies. No, he don't always lie. His intention is to bring lies and deception, but he might mask it with some truth.
Right.
To get you in, you know, hooked into the door. Like, you know, you see a fish sees a worm. That's food for the fish. But when there's a hook, underneath that worm is nothing but, you know, deception in order to catch that fish.
That's right.
And it's all over for that fish.
That's right.
Unless that fish is, you know, a relative Houdini. You can get off that hook, which I've had a few get off my hook before. I don't know how they pulled it off. But anyway, so getting back to this, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And let me say this before we go further. Just because a person goes to a fortune teller and that fortune teller tells you the truth about your life that you know they couldn't know otherwise, except by supernatural revelation, mm-hmm. that does not mean that spirit is from God.
That's right. That's a very good point.
And the same with in church.
That's a very good
point. You can have false prophets saying the truth about your life, and that they could be operating by a wrong kind of spirit.
That's true.
And so that's why we said, you know, we know the devil can mimic and counterfeit the gifts of the Spirit, so we have to test everything. We don't accept everything just because there's some truth in what they say. Oh, well, that got to be a prophet from God. Maybe not. We got to test it. That's why the Bible says that the prophets, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
That's right.
You know, so there shouldn't be any Lone Ranger prophets out there that are not accountable to anybody. Because mm-hmm. they're actually walking on dangerous ground if that's the case. Anyway, that's just a little side note.
And this is why it's important to hear that this is one of the gifts from the Holy Spirit and why it's so valuable and important in the body of Christ, discerning spirits. You know, I heard once about this story specifically, how this spirit was proclaiming the truth among these people so that the people, once Paul was out, the people would see them, this girl with a divination spirit, as someone that they can rely on because they were speaking the truth about Paul, about being servants of God. So what you're saying, that the enemy will bring a message that is true first, because all he wants to do first is get his foot in and to just get your trust and your attention and for you to invite him in.
That's very good.
Yeah. And this is really important, as you said, because it's not like the enemy is going to present himself, you know, as we usually think with, you know, the red suit, right, and the pitchfork. If he came like that, you would immediately know that it's him. So this is why discerning the spirit is so important. I want to quickly just state this. I remember one day, it was actually a Sunday, and we were in church in service, and I remember there was this one lady that was, I was able to see her from the platform, that she was going around praying for people. And immediately I discerned that woman was not from God. And immediately I took action on that. And so that's why it's so important, especially, you know, we think, oh, this is only happening when you go to one of those places, divinations or tarot cards or the Ouija board. You said something that's gold. Everything is gold with the word of God. Inside the church, we need to discern the spirit. And praise God for these men and women who walk in this gift. And we need to listen. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I say that because there was somebody else who said to me, no, she's harmless. No, she's a good Christian woman. And I'm telling you, I even ask again the Lord, am I discerning wrong? Is this something that is just my emotion? And I met her a second time to make sure that I wasn't wrong. And I'm telling you, the second time it was even stronger. The Holy Spirit confirmed, this is not from me. Even though soft-spoken and very friendly and very kind. As a matter of fact, she was even crying, asking for people to help and just trying to get the compassion. And oh, praise God for the discernment of spirit, because the Holy Spirit said, this is not mine. She is working with the spirit of darkness.
Yes, and that's good that you bring that up, because it jogs my memory about some other things I remember hearing about, you know, that some have purposely come to the church from witchcraft covens, that they are plants purposely sent to churches, especially the ones that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, to come in with a counterfeit gift of prophecy or tongues and interpretation or any of these gifts, particularly ones that are vocal, you know, giving a word of knowledge or word of wisdom, instruction, or a calling on your life, or whatever they might say. But they also come in with the purpose to try to destroy the church, because I've heard former witches and warlocks that have gotten saved, filled the Holy Spirit, talk about some of their operations that they were doing, that they were purposely coming to infiltrate the church, to bring down the pastor and destroy the church. You know, they'll send in beautiful young women that are in witchcraft, and they'll send them in there as agents to try to get the pastor to commit adultery with them, mm-hmm. or to come in there and stir up division right. in the prayer, join the right. prayer groups. This is exactly. one big one, too. They join the intercessory prayer groups, right. and they start crossing division and strife, and that mm-hmm. destroys the whole unity of the prayer group. That's you don't have right. to have 1,000 people praying to have power. One guy who was a former high-ranking warlock in Africa talked about how that there was one church that just a pastor and I think maybe a dozen or 20 women out in the remote area. They had more power than most of the churches in Africa mm-hmm. because they were in unity in their prayer. Right. And there were certain things that were being done that were being blocked by the demonic world could not accomplish. And these, you know, people don't know that witchcraft is a worldwide thing. Even some organizations, right. they'll come together like on an annual meetings, meet in certain countries and discuss their plans for different countries and what they're doing. And they came together in a meeting and talked about how there was one pastor, and this was a demonic spirit manifesting through the guy. There was a pastor in some country, I don't know where it was, Uganda or where it was, but said, this guy is blocking this road all the way up north, all the way through Africa, and we can't get through. We wow. got to do something to stop this.
Wow, imagine that.
One pastor with 20 women, and he said there were, I think, 20 women. Don't quote me on the number, but 20 women that were all in unity. And so they said, we can't curse them, and we can't come in there to try to kill them, because they're in such unity that we will either get converted or we'll die. So we'll try another method. You know what the method was? They were sending these young women to come in there, join the intercessory prayer group, and start to stir up strife.
Wow.
Wow, and it worked.
Look at that. Wow, what a shame.
It worked, because they come in there disguising themselves as Christians.
Right.
And they'll do that kind of stuff. So, absolutely. You know, this is why we need to be able to discern. And also, we need to also discern the kind of programs where we're talking about where our children are watching, you know, Harry Potter and all this witchcraft stuff. And people don't even know some of these cartoons, like Pokemon. Mm-hmm. You know, they watch Pokemon. These kids got these Pokemon cards and they're playing all this stuff. And they don't know what Pokemon even means. It means pocket monster. Mm-hmm. And it's a creation, I believe, of Japan. And when the Pokemon movie came out, you know how many of these kids ended up in a hospital? Mm-hmm. Because they got the flashing lights as well, but it was all intended as a form of witchcraft. Many of these kids had to go to the hospital because of how the effect of the spirits and the way they use the flashing lights in the movie to attack them. And it messed them all up. And I don't know how many of them probably now have demons that they've taken home with them. We got to be careful with this kind of things.
Yes. You know, I want to add something, because as you're talking about children, there is no, they're not too young. We have to start protecting them at a very young age. I'll never forget in daycare, I think the child was like 4 years old, one of the children, And he started in one of the play activities. He started, I'm going to say, kind of chanting. That's the best way I can describe it. The name of a demon. And I remember it. It's not that I'm familiar with the names, but this particular one, I had recently heard about it or read about it. So when he started saying this name, I said, "What are you saying?" And he told me, and I said, "Where did you learn that? What? Why are you saying that?" And he said, very innocently, like he didn't even know what he was saying. He said, "My teacher at the other daycare taught us, the whole class, about this. And she taught us how to say the name and how to, I guess, sing that song." Imagine that. 4-year-old in daycare. And that's why I keep repeating and stressing, parents, we need to know what our children are learning. It's good to meet teachers and even ask them, you know, even as much as possible, what are their beliefs? Because they're going to teach the children who they are and what they believe. They're going to pass it on. And it is so, so dangerous. Imagine that. You're dropping off your child at a daycare center, and maybe the last thing in your mind is that they are being introduced to demonized activities and witchcraft.
Yes, that's so true, sweetheart. We like to wish the best and hope the best in people and see the best in people, but there are people out there that are up to no good, nefarious purposes. And some, of course, are doing it ignorantly.
Yes.
But some are doing it purposely because they're coming from a witchcraft standpoint to try to corrupt our children. And what do you think witchcraft groups, covens do? They sit there and come together and they conspire plans in order to disrupt civilization, humanity, with children, with schools, hospitals. They even infiltrate hospitals if they can and come in or collect blood samples, put curses on people, and even go in there and even sometimes put stuff in their IVs and stuff to try to kill them. Old people, they're in there. Now, I'm not trying to get someone to be paranoid, saying every time they see a nurse or nurse aide, think that person's a witch. But I'm just saying is from other people's experiences, they've told that these things are true. And even some of them who have come out of witchcraft said, "Oh, yeah, yes, some of the stuff we used to do."
That's right.
They do those things.
And the purpose is to inform the listeners so that we can be aware. And as you said, it's not for us to walk in fear, but to walk in discernment, which is what we're talking about.
And I'll add something to that, too, about hospitals. People talk about, well, you know, these different conditions happen to people. But I'm under the strong belief. Now, I don't have total proof and evidence of this in this particular case, but I believe some of the things that happen to some women that go on for childbirth, postpartum depression, is witchcraft being put on these women while they're in there giving birth, and then they end up getting depression so bad some of them commit suicide.
Yes,
and I remember hearing a story about a woman and her husband. There was nothing going wrong in their life. They had a good life, a good family, a good career, and she got pregnant, I think maybe with her second child, and she got depression so bad, they were having to try to put her on psychotic medication because she was talking about committing suicide.
Wow.
And she said that she even gave them a clue that she felt that there was some demon that was oppressing her, that was trying to take her over. And no one got a clue that was real. They just chalked it up as a psychosis. And guess what happened to her?
Oh.
She jumped off a building and killed herself.
Oh, what a shame.
And we as Christians need to be aware. The Bible's, Paul says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices.
Right.
And but the thing is, most Christians are, because they're very naive. And so, well, we don't believe in magnifying the devil. Well, here's the thing, the fallacy of making that statement. We don't magnify the devil above beyond what he's capable of, but we need to recognize what he is capable of so that we can put a stop to it. You know, I talked about this in one of my first messages at the church. is about if, you know, like when I'm in the military, when I was in the Gulf War, you know, we understand that military intelligence, the purpose of military intelligence is to assess the enemy's strengths and weaknesses, to know their capabilities. In order to do that, you have to study them and find out what they have, what they can do. And so you might say, someone said, well, that's magnifying the enemy because you're talking about all the things they can do. No, you're talking about their capabilities because you study them, and that gives you power over them because now you know how to put a stop to them. So when you don't know the evil spirits are behind a lot of these innocent things such as tarot cards, soothsayers, or you might say palm readers or fortune tellers.
Even these dream catchers.
There you have it, sweetheart.
Excuse me. A lot of young girls, they're so much into this now, and they think it's so cute. You know, I saw a young girl and I said, you know, if you only knew the meaning behind that. And so we also encourage mothers, don't go ahead and pursue the crystals. That's something that's very popular now, crystals and the dream catchers. That all of that has bad spirits behind it. And when we say bad spirits, we don't mean just negative spirits or bad auras. No, we're talking about demonic spirits.
Yeah, they're all demonic spirits. The spiritual world is real, and people seem, you know, like never before to be fascinated with the spiritual world.
That's true.
And in that sense, there's nothing wrong with it because we need to learn about the spiritual world, but we need to learn about it correctly instead of being misinformed, thinking all that stuff out there is friendly spirit, Casper the friendly ghost, you know.
That's right.
No, they're not friendly.
No, that's
they're lying, deceiving spirits that are sent to destroy your life and to send you to hell. And they will wreak havoc in your life as quickly as they can, if they can do it. They're not playing around. This is that's not right. A game.
And they have no mercy. They have no mercy. So don't think that because you're having a hard time, they're going to have compassion and let go. No, the enemy does not have mercy. And as you were saying, you know, we don't want to mislead neither. We are not saying that our listeners should start learning about satanic things and demons. But what we're saying is that we need to know that it is real. And we need to read the Word of God, which is true. And we need to be in agreement and in harmony with the Holy Spirit. So by all means, this is not to cast any fear on anyone. On the contrary, we bless you. We bless your life. We bless your home. We rebuke all spirit of death among all listeners. We cast out and bind all unclean spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. But it is important to know, as you said, that the spiritual world is real. And one of the greatest things I think the enemy has done is in many people's lives is to make himself invisible in terms of that he's not real, to make them think that he's not real. And for those that think that he is real, that he's harmless. Remember not too long ago, there was even a debate among many school districts because they actually were trying to open. I think they were successful in some areas and a Satan after school club. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there were many parents, of course, that were not happy with that and shouldn't be. And they made it so kid-friendly that it was something just to empower the child to learn. And the way they wrote it out, you would say, wow, yeah, I want my child to be a part of that. And they even had the image, you know, a little cartoon figure of Satan just with a big smile and just a friendly character. That's amazing that that the enemy, he's not hiding. Let's put it that way. He's not hiding. He's not trying to hide. He's blatantly putting out there that he's real and he wants the children and as many, you know, people as he can destroy. But praise God for podcasts like this that brings the truth. And we also encourage our listeners to always pray for people who bring the truth. And always rebuking any spirit of retaliation. So listen to the word of God and allow this truth to make a difference in your life and in your family's life.
Amen. You know what? We've done part two here tonight, and I feel there's some part three even to this subject, you know, because there's still a lot more that needs to be said. You know, people don't, well, what else is there, Brother Keith? And what is there, Sister Karina? What else is there there that I need to know about in terms of what not to get involved with. You know, there's more to talk about. Vampires and werewolves and all these things that people are watching, Twilight, all these shows and movies that they think is harmless. They don't seem to understand that these things are detrimental to their life and to their soul. And, you know, you say, well, I'm not doing those things. Or even being fascinated with these TV series shows about, you know, serial killers.
That's true.
And pursuing, you know, after them and things like Dexter. I haven't even watched an episode out. I'm not even going to. You know, they hire I think from what I understand about it, they hire a serial killer to help them find the serial killer.
Oh, wow.
And somehow they turn this guy into a hero. Right? And there's a lot of sick stuff where kids are watching, people are watching, and they don't realize they're opening a door. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to turn into a serial killer. But you know what? You open the door to the devil in so many ways. To depression, to anger issues, to anxiety, to fear, all sorts of things. Depression that's plaguing a lot of people because they're opening the door for evil spirits to come into their homes, into their lives.
Right.
Sometimes, you start feeding those spirits, they're going to come.
Of course. And it's not just one. You know, they'll bring friends. You know, before we're done with this podcast, it's good to remind the listeners that if you're going through, you know, anxiety, fear, panic attacks and all that, we understand that there are reasons sometimes that you need to take a medication or something like that, but don't put aside the possibility of actually speaking to the Lord and renouncing, as you were saying before, renouncing to all the things that maybe you have participated in that are not from the Lord, and just asking for actually a healing, a spiritual healing, a soul, you know, that the Lord may heal your soul and that you may be free from anything that you may have given legal access to. And I know that this is a very, you know, delicate topic, because we don't want by any means for anyone to say, oh, are you saying that if I'm having anxiety, you know, it's a demon? Maybe not, but maybe it is. It could be.
Yeah, and we're not suggesting everything we mention is, you know, came from you got involved in the occult or witchcraft or all that, but I'm just saying these are open doors that can cause those things, you know, amongst other things. So, you know, there's still a lot more to be said. You know, there's talk about pledges with fraternities and sororities and certain organizations, and they make these pledges and or even oaths, and they don't even know the things that they're saying.
That's
know, Freemasonry and the oaths that they make is some pretty wild stuff. They don't even realize it. You have to make these pledges or to move up the ranks. And this stuff is not harmless like a lot of people think it is. So we'll talk more about this, some of these things, again in our next podcast, or part, I would say part 3 of Discerning the Spirits, although this will be part 14 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, because this is, I know there's going to be a lot of people wanting to listen to these ones because they're eye-opening and people need to know. You know, what is out there, you know, you wouldn't walk through a forest knowing that there's wild animals and beasts in there without a tour guide or some kind of, weaponry or anything, knowing that there's panthers and wild animals that could eat you alive and, you know, snakes and stuff like that. You know, who would walk through the Amazon, you know, forest like that or into the jungle in Africa?
It's suicide.
You wouldn't do that, you know. So in the same way, we live in a world, all evil spirits are all around, and they're involved in a lot of these things that people think are harmless. So, you know, enough said about that for today, for this podcast. And we want to extend the invitation to you once again to accept the Lord if you haven't already. So as my custom is, I let my sweetheart go ahead and share that.
Yes, and you know, this topic, it's so helpful, and I know it's going to be such an eye-opener to so many people. And I pray that you don't just keep it for yourself, but after you listen to it, you know, send it to someone. Ask somebody else to listen to this and give them the gift of the truth. And we've been talking about discernment of discerning spirits. And so far, of course, we're talking about, you know, all these different doors. But you know what? You can also discern a good spirit, which is from the Lord. And I just have to share this quickly with the prior podcast. When we were done, there was just this beautiful presence of God in this place, in this room where my husband and I are sitting. And it was just this overwhelming embrace of the Holy Spirit. And that's a beautiful discernment of the Holy Spirit. So we're not talking about this gift only in the negative sense, but also so that you can also sense the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And it is beautiful to be able to feel God's presence that way as well. But of course, we want to extend the invitation to all of those who have never made the wisest decision in their life. And what is that decision? To give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the truth. He is the way. There is no other way aside from Him. So if you've never made that decision, today is the day for you to go from darkness to light, from death to life, and to spend eternal life with Him. Make that decision today.
Amen, sweetheart. And we want to conclude this podcast, and we'll say good night. God bless you, and we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.